Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, for thy mercy, for thy great goodness. We thank you for this congregation of thy church. We thank you for the grapevine brethren that have come today, and we pray that you bless every one of those. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes, we pray thee. Father, we thank you for the ministries of this church, for our worldwide radio audience that goes out from here to all the earth. We're thankful for our internet ministry. We're thankful for our ability to feed the poor and the homeless. Thank you for our jail ministry and our hospital chaplains, and we pray that you bless them. Father, you've heard the names of all those that are sick, and we pray that you touch each and every one of them. Surround them with your angels and keep them in the hollow of your hand. Please spare them and raise them up, we pray thee. Comfort hearts that are broken, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Brother Eddie Frazier, come and tell us about the jail work real quick.
Real quick, you said.
Amen.
I guess that means I only got 5 minutes. Just joking, Kelly. Well, good morning, church. I just want to thank you all for continuing to pray for us. You know, right now we're at 823 for the year. And if you look at your bulletin, you'll see last year, 2012, we only had 900 for the whole year. So we're on the record to break 1,000 this year, which is always our goal, to be more than 1,000. But I thought maybe y'all didn't understand why we baptize so many men at the Gurney unit. The Gurney unit is a transit unit that got new inmates coming in daily. So every Sunday, we get maybe those that we baptized last week and some of those that were baptized maybe 2 weeks ago. But we always get a new crop of every Sunday of men who never heard the gospel, most likely. Now, just imagine you in a church for the first time where the gospel is preached from 11:45 to 1:45 for almost 2 hours on why you should be baptized. Most likely you would, at that point, say, you know, I think I need to be baptized. So y'all keep continuing to pray for us and hope that we can continue to do God's will. Thank you.
Amen. Brother Russell, come. We are very thankful for the Grapevine Church of Christ. I remember years ago when Sister Ruth Scruggs introduced us to the Grapevine folks. Clayton Tuggle is here. We had met her through Lou Ann Tuggle, and it's been nothing but wonderful things have happened ever since. They help us with our feeding. Some people have volunteered to help with different radio programs and our internet ministry, and some people pay for different things, but it's Grapevine that helps pay for your eating around here and for your food. And they come, the ladies have come during the summer bringing the kids, and so we're really thankful for all the help that they gave us. And Sister Terry McCarty, we love you so much. Kenneth McCarty had passed this past year, and that's his widow, and she's here with us this morning. We thank you. He was the deacon in charge of their benevolence over there that really got involved and started this feeding program here of our barbecues every year. So Russell's going to bring us a message this morning, and remember, when church is over, either get it a go plate or have a seat, and we'll serve you. Thank you.
Morning. I will not be going from 11:45 to 1:45, so we're good, because in that case, we'd have to be if we're following biblical principles, we'd be in a second floor room and someone would fall out of the window and we'd have to try to raise you from the dead and it would just be a mess. So no 2-hour sermon, and also no like 45-minute Kelly sermon either, because say what? No. You want me to preach for 45 minutes, y'all all get up and walk out, including myself. I'll be right behind you. So we'll see where this goes, and the beauty of Brother Kelly is he knows I don't go too long, so he can fill it with good singing on the radio. And especially today, I don't feel worthy of getting up here after Ralph. Amen to that. Ralph's been amazing. We love Ralph at our church, and he, as you can tell, he brings life to any room, and we are thankful for that. But today I want to talk a little bit about Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, if you have a Bible. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And the text goes like this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give its light to everyone in the and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, for most of us, it's probably a passage we know. It's a passage we talk about. It's a passage that begins what we'll see here in a minute is the great sermon that Christ gives on the Mount. In Matthew's Sermon on the Mount and Luke's Sermon on the Plains. But it's this great message that Christ gives to the people who are listening. But when I think about my life, I think about my attitudes. There are so many times I want to just be me. I don't want to be reminded of the fact that I'm a minister. I just want to be sarcastic to that person who says something stupid. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We've all been at that point where there's something we just want to say back at somebody. I just want to be that person. I want to speak what's on my mind. I want to tell people what I feel. I want to be able to look at somebody and tell them maybe something they don't want to hear, but I want to be able to just be me. I want to be able to wake up in a bad mood. Did someone just say, uh-huh? Yeah? I want to be able to wake up in a mad mood and that be okay. If I don't seem nice at the store, it's because the line's taking too long. And that's okay. And I'm going to get upset. If I get cut off in traffic, which we can all understand being in DFW, if I get cut off in traffic, I want to be able to shout and scream in my car and look at that person and tell them I don't like them. I want to be able to do these things because this is who I am. This is at times who I can be. This is the real me. I have mess ups. I have bad thoughts. I say things that I shouldn't. And as we all look at our lives and are all honest with ourselves, we probably have done the same thing. We probably have had times in which we've said things we shouldn't have in the car because someone's cut us off. Not that I've ever done this, drove really fast so I could pass them and tell them what I think of them. We've all been there before. We probably had those times and moments where we want to look at people and tell them exactly what we think about them. It's just a part of who we are. It's human nature to do those kind of things. Because when we encounter people on a daily basis, some for just a few minutes and some we've had for a lifetime, the scary thing is as we encounter these people, as we encounter these visitors who meet us maybe just once as we stand in line and we're trying not to look annoyed and disturbed by the person in front of us taking forever. These visitors, these strangers, get a snapshot. And from that snapshot, they begin to figure out who we are. They begin to make a opinion of what kind of person we are. It doesn't matter how long they've known you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. It's what you did in that one moment. And from that one moment, they begin to form judgment. They begin to decide, this is who you are. Well, that person is a jerk. But da 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 da. You may not be a jerk, but in that moment, you were a jerk. And so that person leaves only having a snapshot of this part of you. And that's when I realized, yet I'm still working on it, that all these things that I may want to do, all these things that I believe is right, that I should be able to do, all these things that say, this is about me. This world is about me. Doing things is about me. All of those things that I want to scream really loudly and say, it is my world, not yours. You're living in my world. You do what I want you to do. You act how I want you to act. But what I'm coming more and more to realize is that in this Christian faith, in following this God that we lifted up in song today, that we stood around a table together and took of His body and took of His blood, that thing that unifies all of us together, what I realized is to follow this God, there is that word, B-U-T. I want to do all of these things. I want to be sarcastic. I want to be in a bad mood. I want to be exactly what I want to be. But, which, don't you hate that word, B-U-T? Because when it comes in, you know there's something you're not going to like on the other end of it. I have a feeling that this God I serve goes, that's great, Russell, but. Because in the voice and in the static of all the noise that we take in on a daily basis, there is this barely audible voice that is whispering in the world. It is a faint whisper inside of a loud world of cell phones and internet and TV. It is a word and a message that is drowned out by our own need to want everything to be about ourselves. It is a word and message that is drowned out by the word that says, the world is all about you. Get what you want to get. Push the people down who need to be pushed. If they're not like you, get them out of the way. There's a message that is being, there's a whisper that is being drowned out by a message that says, it's how much stuff you can have. It's how much possessions you can hold on to. It's how much money you can make. But there's this little whisper going through the world. There's a message that says something different. And every time we hear it, every time it touches our ears, we say, wait a minute. The world screams, wait a minute. This isn't right. Listen to us. Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. That whisper that you're hearing, that message that you're hearing is wrong. It's backwards. It's not who you are. And again, we go through life, and there's this whisper in the back. We can hear it. We come here today, and we hear a faint whisper of a message that says something different than it's all about you. It's a faint message that says there's something more than how much you can gain in life. There's something more than just pushing people aside. There's something more than you wanting to be sarcastic to that person. I know you want to be, but that faint whisper says, that's not what it's about. There's something deeper. And I wish I could tell you that this clicked for me one day and I've been perfect, but that still hasn't happened. I've still been struggling with this on a daily basis because this whisper of a message is not easy. Because we like what the world has to say. We like that the world says it's about you. We like that the world says, take it all in, worry about yourself, forget about your neighbor. For some reason, that message clings to us. And so as Christ takes his disciples and he begins this message, what does he say? Christ opens up with some beautiful words before he ever gets into this Sermon on the Mount. He starts and he says, you are the salt. You are the light. Did you notice what he said? He's getting ready to explain life in Christ here in a minute, but he begins it with this little passage. And it's almost a whisper because a lot of times we move past this passage and get to, you've heard do not murder, but I tell you, do not think bad thoughts. You've heard do not commit adultery, but I say, do not even have a terrible thought. You've heard this. And we always get into that. And we miss what is this beautiful opening, which is all but a faint whisper that says, you are salt. You are light. He uses the phrase, you are. He didn't say, you need to be, or you must be, or even if you think about it and it seems like a good idea, then go ahead and do it. he begins the phrase with "you are." A German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, says this: "It is not for the disciples to decide whether they will be the salt of the earth, for they are so whether they like it or not, they have been made salt by the call that they have received." Christ makes it plain as day in these few verses. Follow me. Your existence is about me. Your identity is wrapped in me. You can't get away from it. No one can redefine you. The world can't tell you you have to be this way. You are Christ. The good, the bad, and the ugly is Christ. And so your life will slowly be transformed into that identity which is the image of Christ. And so this brings us back to our lives and the impact that they have on people. Christ tells us here that this life will be a visible one. One that is different than anything else the world has seen. You are the person that will make a difference in the world tomorrow. You are the individual who will get uncomfortable for him. You will show others that Christ is not about traditions or wealth or about your power. You are the person that will show today his justice, his mercy, and his love to a world that so badly needs to see it. Instead of bringing out the message which is continually drowning us out that says it's about you, you will be the faint whisper. You will be the person who lives out the life of saying, you know what? Today I will be about Christ. Today I know what I should say, but today I will offer mercy instead of judgment. Today I will offer love instead of hatred. Today I will look at my coworkers and say, yeah, I know what you do, and I really could just condemn you right now, and it would be so much easy, and it would make me feel better. But today, you know what? Let me offer the hand of grace to you. Let me talk to you. Let me listen to you. Because in these words, "you are," Christ says you become visible to the world. Bonhoeffer later says this: "A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him." Those who don't realize that you are today the salt and the light of the world, Bonhoeffer says, has ceased to be community, has ceased to be Christ to the world, which are tough words when we hear them. Because when it becomes all about pleasing ourselves, when it becomes all about doing good things so others may see us and pat us on the back and say, good job, then we forget the calling. When it seems too uncomfortable, or we say, you know what, I'm just not ready to be that way, then we forget about the calling we're given. When we are just too busy with our schedules, and maybe we say, next week I'll take care of this. Maybe next week I'll help Kelly with this, or I'll help my neighbor who needs this. Maybe next week I'll talk to my coworker. When we do that, we forget about our calling. Because when Christ, in this passage in Matthew, says, you are salt, you are light, it is an action word that says, starting today, this is how you must and will be. We are to be visible to everybody we encounter because we are Christ to the world. It may not seem easy at times, and a lot of times it may seem inconvenient. Like I said, I would rather wake up in bad moods. I would rather look at people without mercy and grace and just lay judgment on them. I would rather not have to talk to certain people because they're not like me. But you know what? Every morning you wake up, you look dead in the eyes of Christ, and Christ says, today you are salt. Today you are light. That's what I've called you to be in this world. And it's a tough, tough message when we really get to it. This is the hardest, in some ways, the hardest part of the Sermon on the Mount, because he's not saying, hey, you know what, if you like this message, go ahead with it. He's not saying, hey, if you think this is a good idea, go ahead and live with it. Before he even starts the message, he says, guess what? This is what you're going to be. And so as his disciples are hearing this, they're thinking, he's not really giving us a choice. He said, you are. This is what we're going to be. And when we read this, we see it's not going to make us the most popular people because it puts us against the world. But we are the people who make a difference. People will see you. People will hear you. And when they see the visible Christ in you, that will be the statement. You won't even have to say words because it will be how you do your life. It will be that money is not nearly the most important thing in this world. It will be that having possessions is not the most important thing in this world. It will be loving the person next to you more than you love yourself. It will be that person you know who is living in sin and struggling in sin. And instead of you saying, I told you not to do that, what will it be? It'll be you putting your arm around that person and saying, what? Hey, brother, how can I help? Sister, what's going on? That's what Christ has called us to be. He's called all of us in here today, now, to be a visible community. To be a community that is not shame, that is not ashamed of crying out and saying, we love those around us. We wrap our arms around those people not like us. And Paul makes it very simple. Paul, in his hymn in Philippians 6, says this, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a certain servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul tells us the same thing and reiterates Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. You are to show His mercy. You are to be His hands. You are to be His feet. You are to show His justice. Not just whenever, but every day. And it's time to take the calling of Christ seriously. It's time to realize that this was given to us. And today, at this very moment, he says and looks at you in the face, you are the salt and the life and the light of this world. Main Street, today, you are salt to the people of Dallas. Main Street, today, you are light to the hidden and broken areas of Dallas. Today, when you leave here, you will leave here shining light into the cracks of the people you know. Today, you will be the salt which gives flavor to a world that says, we don't like flavor. That is what you're called to today. There's no beating around the bush. There's no running away from it. And so as we leave here today, let's take the simple message of Christ, the very simple three verses of Matthew 5, and be salt and light to the world. When you get stuck in a line, make a joke or sing a praise. When somebody cuts you off, thank God and hope that person gets to where they need to be safely. And when you see the person on the side of the road hurting, instead of thinking, whew, glad that's not me, maybe we take the moment to stop and see what's happening. And from there, from that moment, salt and light enters into a world that says, we're not sure we like this. And in that moment, your whisper becomes the loud roar of Christ saying something is different. May we be different people this week. May we live a life that says it is not about us and is not about what the world says, but it is a life that says we are going to be visible. We are going to be a people who are strong. We are going to be a people who make differences in whichever way possible. So in that brief moment when that stranger or that visitor encounters you and talks to you, the snapshot you give them is that somebody who's different. The snapshot you leave them is not one saying, well, that person's a jerk. You leave there with them saying, that person could have handled it this way, but they didn't. They could have said something ugly to me, but they blessed me. And that person leaves with a little different thought of humanity and gets a little glimpse of Christ in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everyone here, Father. I'm thankful for the life lived in each person's life, Lord. I'm thankful for the time we have to be with one another. I'm thankful for the fact, Lord, that you tell us and you open us up to a new world by saying, today you will be different. And Lord, I pray we can live in that difference today, tomorrow, and the week to come. I'm thankful for the people of Main Street, Lord. I'm thankful for their hearts, for the fact that they give of all they have. Lord, I pray they continue. You continue to bless this church. You continue to bless the people here. And Lord, may they be salt and light to this area and to the people they encounter. It's in your risen Son's name we pray. Amen. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. And when the Savior calls, I will answer. Now he's somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. for my